Saddam Hussein in the Gulf War, when his sons-in-laws bolted, promised them amnesty, return to the bosom of the family. Shot them both the afternoon they returned. Why? No institutionalized moral authority. Most of the third world have either corrupt democracies or pseudo democracies, or they're just plain dictatorships. And you don't have institutionalization of moral authority. When you have institutionalization of moral authority, you have unbelievable levels of freedom. 4.5% of the people on this earth produce almost a third of the world's goods. The release of creative energy is unequaled in the history of the world, without any question. Much of the third world requires 50% of the population to feed the rest. And there's still extensive starvation. They're still back into the other ages. Now, this is the quote, "From Chaos to Coherence," the book. What also is becoming increasingly apparent is that the same processes are profoundly affected by what we consciously do, what we think, what we feel, how we react. Research is now clear that the inability to manage oneself efficiently leads to premature aging, diminished mental clarity, and even blocked access to our innate intelligence. The converse is also true. Increasing internal coherence leads to more efficiency in all physiological systems and greater creativity, adaptability, and flexibility. Put the prophecy over here of Peter Drucker several hundred years from now. In a few hundred years, when the history of our time will be written from a long-term perspective, I think it is very probable that the most important event these historians will see is not technology, it is not the internet, it is not e-commerce. It is an unprecedented change in the human condition. For the first time, and I mean that literally, substantial and rapidly growing numbers of people have choices. For the first time, they will have to manage themselves, and we are totally unprepared for it. Why? The command and control structure of the industrial age has created a workforce that is essentially compliant and passive, or angry and rebellious. That's called codependency. And people are not prepared to manage themselves by a commonly agreed upon vision and value system. That's why it will take a transition process. And these two roads illustrate the transition process. It always starts with self, finding your own voice, then helping to find others' voices. Now, what happens is that if you have these qualities, you are trusted. Another word for trust is moral authority, or social capital, or emotional bank account. When there is trust, that enables you to solve problems synergistically, meaning you produce third alternatives that are better than what anyone has initially proposed. Now we're moving into the skill set. This is called the Indian talking stick. It was given as a gift by Indian chiefs who run Indian nations. By the way, I have been in the vice president's office where I have seen the desk where the Indian nation heads sign agreements with the United States government. They are separate, autonomous nations in many respects. The problem has been generations of institutionalized codependency through the reservation system. It's a very, very serious problem. And these are the indigenous people of this land. Well, I've been involved in training them over the years in many ways, including First Nations up in Canada, the Oneida Indian Nation, and the Iroquois Federation, Navajos, Apaches, so many different Indian tribes. Well, all of the heads were together. After 3 days of training, they gave to me this stick. It's an authentic Indian talking stick. In fact, they called it Bald Eagle. That was my name. They actually taught this to the Founding Fathers. It's very interesting. If you read The Miracle at Philadelphia, if you read the new Jot Adams biography, which I'm into now, you will see the synergy that produced the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. No one would have come up with that on their own. It took the character of a George Washington, who they wanted to be king, and who was happy he didn't have a son, as I mentioned earlier, because of the divine right of kings, the paradigm they came out of. Just a fledgling, new, struggling nation, taking on the most powerful nation in the world, preserved largely through a huge ocean and the cultivation of very strong mores and norms around freedom and resisting arbitrary George V rules and taxes and so forth. Anyway, they taught this to the Founding Fathers. It's the single most powerful communication tool I have ever seen. This is the skill set I was talking about. The mindset has preceded this. It's the upper road where we're the creative force of our own life. As long as you have the Indian talking stick, then I can't say anything. Your first name?
Bill.
Bill. Let's say that there is a struggle going on between Bill and Bob. You're in the same organization? And so this is very real, what we're talking about, right? Okay, now, Bob, you can't say one word until he gives you that stick. But he has to give you the stick as soon as he feels his last point has been understood. Your skill is empathy. You have to get to the fifth level to where you can make his point to where he says, "You understand me, Bob. I feel understood on that point." Not on all 20 points he wants to make, but on that point. Then he says, "It's your turn." Now, the reason why you're willing to be patient is because you know you're going to have your day in court. And he cannot interrupt you. And formal authority is absolutely irrelevant. So now you have it. He cannot say one word. He can't agree with you. He can't disagree. He can't give you his success formulas. He can't say yes, but. He has to listen until you feel understood. As soon as you feel understood, you'd say, "I feel understood, Bill. Thank you." On that point, not everything, but on that point, then you pass it back. Now, the wise thing is to always start with areas of agreement. Gradually move toward areas of disagreement. What happens is that human affirmation begins to take place. Two people seeking to understand each other. See? You both are looking for a solution to the problem that has divided you in a new way that neither of you know about. It isn't in Bill, and it isn't in Bob. It's between Bill and Bob. It's when you overlap, your vulnerabilities come the creative energy to come up with a new solution. And you have no idea. And neither of you want to compromise. So it has to be 1 + 1 = 3, not 1.5. That's compromise. And it isn't trying to get consensus among this group, it's to get synergy among this group. Consensus decisions are compromise decisions. People are giving in. No, you're going to create something bigger and better. And then he's listened to until he feels understood on that point. And then you are, and then he is, until little by little, the defensive energy of the past is replaced by the quality of a trusting relationship and creative energy in producing a third alternative. You look strong. Could you stand up? We're going to wrestle. I'm a black belt. You're going down.
That won't be the first time.
You are a loser.
Is his name Bill?
He said, is his name Bill too? Wimp. Say after me, I am a loser. He won't say it. Okay. Now, Bill is going to fund this operation because he has deep pockets. Fair enough, Bill? So that if Bob puts me down here, you get $1. And if I put you down here, I get $1. Is that fair enough? You can borrow from all of those at this table because you are a complementary team, right? Is that okay with the rest of you? All right. I know, it does say wild man. Now, you have a watch there. Get out your watch. And what you do is you give us 30 seconds, okay? You tell us when to start. Start pushing against me, loser, wimp. And then you count the times he puts me down or I put him down. Each time you get $1.
Go.
Let's go back and forth and we both win that way, see? That's good. Now, let's do it efficiently. Watch this. Let's be efficient.
Okay, I'm gonna give him this. Stop.